Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
Hey, that's the sound of rock cracking once again. You've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday. You're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's www.webtalkradio.net. Tell your friends and neighbors, we're growing because of you. We appreciate you listening and telling others about the show. Now, as far as Rock Splitting Politics, today's show, this week, we're going to reflect back on part of the world, the Middle East. There's chaos over there. Whose fault is it? Can we blame anybody? Well, we do have chaos in the Middle East. Now, we've had on the site exclusive interviews on the streets of Jerusalem, but we're not talking about Jerusalem today. We're going to be talking about Baghdad, Iraq, Iran, Syria. How does all this blend in? And it's all so close. Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Qatar. Libya's not far away. The Middle East is in chaos. And what's the American administration's strategy? Well, I think the terrorists know it very well. And I shouldn't be laughing because heads are rolling off because people are being beheaded, set on fire, destroyed. It is unreal, the carnage going on. And yet, our president's out playing golf. Well, we're going to talk about the Middle East crisis and the chaos that's going on. Got some clips from Megyn Kelly and Brit Hume talking, and some clips with Charles Krauthammer and Bill O'Reilly. I got to put some comments in between there, and that will best for me explain to you, our listeners, the chaos that's going on and what America is doing, what we should have done, what we need to do. All this coming up in today's show. And then in the second half, at the end of the show, I will give you an update on the Mississippi Senate race. We've talked about that along with other races in this primary season. But the Mississippi race for the United States Senate in the Republican primary was not won on June the 3rd. It went to a runoff between Thad Cochran and the challenger, Chris McDaniel. And I know I got a lot of listeners there in Mississippi. Give you an update on that because you're voting this week. If you're listening to us after Tuesday, it's too late to vote if you're in Mississippi. But I hope you'll go out and vote and make your voice known. Now, this show is going around the country, and we know, being on the internet, we got listeners in other parts of the world that'll listen, and we appreciate our listeners, and we are going to focus in on Mississippi's primary race. We are in shows in the past, we've talked about several other races, and we'll have to bring that up again. And I'll tell you right now, next week, we are going to cover the emails that have been missing from the IRS. I'd love to do it today's show, but we're going to put that off the next week, so be sure to listen to next week's show. Let's get started right here and right now.
I rode a tank in a generous rank when the blitzkrieg raged and the finest thing. Pleased to meet you, hope you guess my name. Oh yeah,
well, that was Mick Jagger singing Sympathy for the Devil, and I believe the devil has unleashed forces in Iraq. And did anyone see it coming? Of course. Of course we knew things were getting worse in Iraq. The media wouldn't cover it, but the government had to know. President Obama and the national security team had to know, and why didn't they get help? We heard that Iraq's President Maliki there, and he had requested some air assistance over a month ago. Why do we wait till things get so chaotic and towns and are taken over? And now they're marching to Baghdad. If the capital falls, the chaos everywhere. Well, some of the things we have to realize is it's a flow that it may not be able to be stopped. Of course, American air power could decimate the army. They call it the ISIS army, the Islamic army that's putting together. It's worse than Al-Qaeda. It's a branch off of Al-Qaeda. And this administration has got egg all over its face for saying Al-Qaeda was on the ropes. It's not on the ropes. It's going to be ruling a country with the third largest supply of oil. You think that won't fund a lot of terrorism? And even as we're doing this show, they say that the terrorist forces are attacking Iraq's oil refinery, one of their largest oil refineries, and trying to secure it. Will they do that? What's going on? Well, it's a little bit late for our government to get involved. Well, President Obama was waiting for his security team to give him some information while he plays golf. He's out playing golf, and the world burns. So much to talk about, and I watch shows, listen, try to read up on this so I can tell you what you need to know. And the best thing I think I can do, found a clip with Megyn Kelly and Brit Hume, and she lays out the presidency and what's going on right now such a good way that helps inform me, that I thought I want to inform you with what she's saying. I will stop in there and give you some more information, because you hear things here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics that you won't hear anywhere else. We've been covering primary elections and inside domestic politics the last few weeks. We've got to look at the world stage, because what's happening around the world is affecting America. Your gas bills are going to go up for gasoline if Iraq falls into further chaos. They're already going up some, but what if Iran takes over Iraq? Can you believe what's going on? Have you heard that we may have to work with Iran to actually stabilize Iraq? And I, you know, President Obama went against the law of Congress to get Bo Birdall, and, you know, I welcome any American that gets to come home. But five Taliban leaders, is that setting a precedent? Is he just trying to get rid of prisoners out of Gitmo? And on the back of this, we look at the Iran. It's been over 6 months. We went and made a deal with Iran. We unleashed their assets over several billion dollars so that they would get this initial negotiations of 6 months. It's past 6 months. Nobody said anything. And now we are asking Iran to help stabilize Iraq. Do we live in a crazy world? Or is the world that Obama has designed and given to us? Well, let's let Megyn Kelly kick this thing off, and I'll be joining in and giving some comments. But this really hits it on the head of what you need to know. Take a listen.
Welcome to the Kelly File, everyone. I'm Megyn Kelly. Breaking tonight is Barack Obama's presidency imploding. Al-Qaeda is resurging, Iraq is disintegrating, and now we may look to Iran to help us stop it. Iran, a terrorist regime responsible for the deaths of thousands of Americans. What could possibly go wrong? We have drawn red lines in Syria we refuse to enforce. We stood by as Russia seized part of Ukraine. And now we are releasing top Taliban leaders as the Afghanistan war is still going. Not to worry, they tell us Qatar's going to watch them for a year, we hope.
When I hear Kelly come out strong like that, I just want to say, preach on, lady, preach on. Because Megyn Kelly is really just hitting the home what we all know, but she's putting it together in succinct language and letting people know, what are we going to do about this? Why, this is who we have elected. He's our president, and now he's playing golf. And not just a round of golf, 18 holes of golf, weekend after weekend, back to back, with the elite people of the world. Where is the touch for the common person, the common man? Where? And the elites, to hang out with the elites. And I just have to tell you, he's an elitist. And he's just thinking, well, everything will take care of itself, I guess. Well, go ahead, Megan. We'll let you talk some more.
Domestically, we have a president who has lost the trust of the American people by repeatedly misleading them. He bypasses Congress, the people's representatives, on matters ranging from Obamacare to immigration law, to the point where one of the most respected liberal law professors in the country has called our president the very danger the Constitution was designed to avoid. The American public overwhelmingly regrets Obamacare. Our veterans are dying, waiting to see doctors. The IRS intimidates conservative groups. The southern border is compared to a sieve. And the president assures us not to worry, smiling, golfing, and at this very moment, partying with fashion queen Anna Wintour. Because the fundraising never stops. Not when four Americans die in Benghazi, and not when Baghdad is at the brink.
Once again, Megan, hitting it right on the head. Fundraising never stops. This president, no matter how many Americans have died, who has died, he won't stop a fundraiser because it's like he's in full-time campaign mode, raising money. When Americans die, it's a tragedy, and he plays golf and campaigns, and the world looks for leadership. And our president's on a golf course, not in a situation room, trying to understand why his decisions will affect lives and people will live and die by the decisions he makes. Maybe he needs to have relaxation and play golf before a decision he makes watches people die. But he took that job. And people are dying by the hundreds there in Iraq now. We don't know how many. And being beheaded. And this president, is it America's job to go in and send troops in and win Iraq back? It's not America's job, but that goes back to the very point of what this president is doing. When we got out of Iraq, he said they don't want us there, wanting to do a service agreement, but he wanted to get out of Iraq. I don't think he wanted any presence there. And we should have had an air base. We should have had some kind of mechanism so we could stay there in an air base in a way. And yet this president refused to try to negotiate that. He said it couldn't be done, and he walked out, washed his hands of the matter, and now there's chaos, and it's going to affect America. It's going to affect us. It's not just way over on the other side of the world. The Middle East is in chaos because there's no planning. There's planning to give the terrorists more than a foothold. They're taking a whole country. Okay, Megan, tell us something else.
Joining us now with reaction, our senior political analyst, Britt Hume. Britt?
Well, that's a pretty powerful indictment, Megan, and I kind of wish I could take issue with any of its individual parts, and I really can't. In fact, I would add one more thing, which is that if you think of the issue that elected Barack Obama, the issue that was an avalanche on the Republican ticket in 2008, it was the economy. And here we are now, how many years into this administration, we have not had anything like the robust recovery that we're accustomed to seeing after recession, especially indeed after deep recessions. The unemployment rate is still persistently high, and it's down from what it was, but mostly that's because the workforce has been shrunk. Not exactly a great achievement. So if you're looking at what the American people are feeling and sensing, that would have to be very high on the list. And of course, as they look out across the landscape of our borders and across the world, there seem to be problems virtually everywhere, and it is hard to point to a place where things are really better than they were. There may be a few, but they're not the main ones.
Now, that was Britt Hume responding to Megan, and he added more than just the international chaos. He pointed out that our economy still is in the doldrums. It's never really lifted up. And the only reason unemployment rate is going down, people are getting out of the workforce. There's fewer people working now as percentage than back in the 1970s. We are not getting a robust economy. Britt brings this back and adds this to the international mix and what's happening on the border with minors coming across without parents and now I guess President Obama is not the commander-in-chief as much as he's the babysitter-in-chief in trying to bring in amnesty on the southern border and call it a humanitarian crisis and bypass Congress once again. Do we not have laws? Is this a lawless country, a lawless president? Can he not be held accountable for breaking laws? Is he above the law? Is he above the law? Is any president above the law? Well, I tell you, Britt brought in some things. Let's let Megan go back and take a listen to what she has to say.
On the foreign policy front, you've got editorials like the one that appeared in the New York Daily News today, not exactly known for its right-wing leanings. The toll wreaked by his disengagement from the world and retreat from the use of American influence is severe. The world is reaping what Obama helped sow, they write. Is it true? Because more and more we are hearing that his policies have not only changed America, Britt, but have changed the landscape of the world.
Well, I think, Megan, that he had an idea, and it was a big idea, which was basically this, as far as American foreign policy in the world is concerned, which is that the American footprint in the world was too big.
Now, listeners to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, take a listen to what Britt is about to say. Britt Hume nails this on the head of what our president thinks. He reads his mind, and he's telling us, I think, the secret to what's going on and why these seeds have been planted.
And it done much harm, and that we as a nation, because of our foreign adventures and the way we threw our weight around, were a big part of the problem. And if we withdrew and shrank our footprint, that things would get better. He says now that he believes deeply in American exceptionalism, but I think that he's just saying that. He didn't really, and of course you may recall he famously said at an earlier time that he believed that, you know, we were exceptional in the same way the Greeks believe that they're exceptional. Mm-hmm. And I think what he did was he tried to diminish our footprint around the world in the view that would eliminate this major aggravating factor in the world, which was the United States presence in foreign lands and with our military. Well, he's done it. We're out of Iraq. We're seeing what's happening there. We're getting out of Afghanistan. The enemy has known for some time that we are. And it's not at all clear to me that you can blame George Bush for getting us into Afghanistan, but he bequeathed to President Obama a lot better situation than we have there now.
Joe Biden was saying it was going to be one of the greatest successes of the administration.
Well, that's right. And of course, I think that the president really believed that leaving is a kind of is winning. And we're finding out that that's not true, that this American exceptionalism that people have talked about means that we practice around the world a kind of diplomacy backed by the threat of force. And I think the history of the last century or more has shown that when we do that, we are a force for good. I think this president did not believe.
Now, right there, leaving is winning. Britt Hume nails it on the head. President Obama believes that leaving is winning. If you get out of the way and let people do what they want to, that everything will be okay. People will love America, and America won't be in any more wars. America won't have any problems. The terrorists will stay over there. They won't care about hurting America because we're leaving is winning. It doesn't work that way, Mr. President, and we're finding out the hard way, and people are going to pay with blood. We don't want American blood, but the day is coming. We may have to pay for the seeds this administration has planted. Go ahead, Megan.
How about the history of this presidency? How is it looking now? Because more and more over the past year, we've heard Barack Obama being compared as, we've heard Bobby Jindal, John McCain say he's worse than President Carter. I mean, those are Republicans who are obviously going to be critics of the president. Fair comparison? How is he stacking up now?
Well, I hate to say it because, you know, I'm an American. I wanted a robust recovery. I wanted a more peaceful world. We don't have it. He's failing. I don't think there's much question about it. Things, I suppose, could turn around, but it's hard for me to imagine that the same policies, which he seems hesitant to change, are going to bring anything but similar results going forward. So I think we're looking at a failed presidency.
Well, Britt Hume of Fox News thinks we're looking at a failed presidency. What say you, America? What say you? Well, I say this is Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. We're glad to have you. You're listening to us as we talk about the chaos in the Middle East, particularly in Iraq. And we've got help from Megyn Kelly and Britt Hume. And in the second half of the show, we got a little bit more from Charles Krauthammer and Bill O'Reilly talking about the chaos there. And again, giving us a definitive look into the chaos on the ground. And before we get there, I want to remind you, you can go to my website and you can order the book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Go right to the front page, click on there and order that. Go check out the banners that we got there, some of our sponsors. Hey, I appreciate what you're doing as you get out there and work for freedom. We all have a task and things to do. I appreciate you listening to the show. But get out there and help a candidate. Help a Tea Party group. Help somebody make a difference in people's lives. This is a war that can be won in getting back to freedom in America. And saying all that, I have to just say, once again, go back and listen to our archives. Look in the archives. We got some shows, unique shows. You'll hear things here you won't hear anywhere else. Continue to tell your friends and neighbors. Now let's get ready for the last part of the show.
And you say?
I say that's right. I mean, what we essentially have to do is Obama has to produce overnight a mini version of what he declined to do in 2011, which is to leave behind a small residual force that could A, gather intelligence, B, help to direct planning on tactics, and C, carry out air support. Those are the three things we need to do. Those are the three things we would have been in a position to do for the last 3 years. And we can see the consequences. The liquidation of all the gains that we made at very high cost in the surge. So what we have to do now is to quickly, the most important thing here, Bill, is that they need intelligence. Yes, they're an open country, but they got to know where, they got to know what speed they're going, they got to know when they left, they have to know what is on those transports.
Okay.
So General Jack Keane, who was one of the architects of the surge, reminds us that we used to have tremendous intel in Baghdad. We got all the regional, local intelligence, which we would hand over to the Iraqis. When we left in 2011, that screen went blank. We have to reactivate the screen, have spotters on the ground, and then use air power.
Now, wasn't that not a beautiful setup and help you explain what we need to do? Charles Krauthammer did it in such a good way. I wanted you to hear that because people just say, Iraq, let's get out of there. It's chaos. Our soldiers, our veterans who served in Iraq, they understood exactly what Krauthammer is saying. They know that we did have an intelligence, a massive intelligence system in Iraq, in Baghdad. And we left it, and I'm sure it's all gone. Can you put it back together? Not anywhere near the way it was, but we can do something to help Iraq and keep this country and all its oil from falling to the terrorists that are going to just murder and butcher people.
Right, but we also have access to the Kurds, as you know, up in the northwestern part of the country. We have access there. We have assets there. But look, Charles, we have drones. We have everything. And, you know, it's what this ISIS army, this Al-Qaeda army has done that Americans, I don't think, understand. Is that they have swallowed up a huge amount of territory they control, all right? Some of it's inside Syria, some of it's now inside Iraq. But it's all flat desert. And they know, the U.S. knows where they're going. Where you don't transport big armaments like that without people knowing about it. Yet President Obama, and this may be an unfair word, I want to know if it's unfair, is dithering. Is that unfair?
Well, he's dithered since the day he got into office. It took him a year to decide on the surge in Afghanistan, went yes and no and maybe in between. Then he announces a surge on the in the same sentence, he announces a withdrawal.
I don't know about Charles Krauthammer right now, but Doc Holliday says dithering is a good word that Bill O'Reilly just used to describe this president. Dithering. He's a dithering president. That's a good word, Bill. Now, let's let Charles Krauthammer continue.
He is unsure. He's been uncertain from the beginning, but he's arrogant enough not to listen to advice. And here he is. He goes off and plays golf, or who knows what he was doing at a time. Iraq is at maximum peril. Let me just say a couple of things. The Kurds are of no use to us. They have captured Kirkuk. They now have their own state. They've been longing for that for 100 years since the Versailles Conference, and they have it in reach. They are not going to want to get involved in this war, and I can understand that entirely. The second thing is drones are useless. A drone is terrific if you want to take out a single terrorist at a coffee shop somewhere in northern Pakistan. But here you need heavy air power to knock out these convoys and to hit these staging areas, which we can do. One other thing which General Keane recommends: we cannot honor the border between Iraq and Syria. It no longer exists.
That's
in
right.
The real world.
Absolutely.
We have to go into Syria to attack ISIS, or all this is useless. They're going to have their safe havens.
Okay.
Once again, Charles Krauthammer has helped us understand that we can get people in, we can help out as far as air war, our strikes, and if we don't, these terrorists are going to overrun Iraq, and it'll make like a whole new terrorist state from parts of Syria all the way through Iraq. The only thing that's not there is the Kurds region. The Kurds in northern Iraq have just about staked out their claim, like they mentioned, and really have their own little country up there. So they're not going to get involved. They got what they want. But what's going on if we cannot allow Syria and Iraq to become a Serac? Barack Serac. Well, what I guess we could call it Barack Serac, and it'd be a nation of terrorists put together by the actions or inactions of President Barack Obama. Barack Serac. Well, you take it or leave it, but I'm putting that out there, and we'll have to wrap this up. The Middle East chaos is existing. As we do this show, things are changing, so I don't know what it'll be like as you listen to the show, but I do have to tell you that I see things getting worse before they get better, and if Iran comes in, makes things better, things can get real worse when we discover, hey, all along they've been working on a nuclear bomb and then they have a nuclear weapon. So many high stakes in this game. What does it mean to Israel when Syria is becoming a terrorist state? What does it mean for our ally Israel? Well, these are things we'll take up another show, because right now I got to finish up telling you a little bit inside the Mississippi U.S. Senate race. We got the 36-year incumbent United States Senator Thad Cochran ran into almost a tie, but Chris McDaniels, the state senator, challenging him, 41 years old, was ahead by 1,400 votes, and neither one made the 50% mark, so there's a runoff this week, June the 24th. So if you're in Mississippi, get out and vote. And the more people vote, the better it is in the election process. I believe that. So if you're able to vote, and everybody in Mississippi can vote, unless you voted in a Democratic primary the first time around. If you voted in that, then there's about 85,000 Mississippians who cannot vote. Other than that, 1.7 million are eligible. So go vote. But one thing I did notice, once we started getting the statewide precinct votes, one thing I noticed that there was a huge amount, but in predominantly African-American precincts, we saw the challenger, Chris McDaniel, the Tea Party-backed challenger, pulling out several votes in the African-American precincts. When I say several, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 in different precincts, but there's 82 counties in Mississippi. If you add those 82 counties together, if it's just 100 votes, then that was enough to keep Thad Cochran from winning the election on the first primary round. The reason why do African Americans support the Tea Party candidate? Well, not all of them do, of course. And there could be some that are listening to Alan West and U.S. Senator Tim Scott. Herman Cain, the presidential contender. Maybe some black conservatives are getting through and helping people understand that. But the real reason people believe is that they think that there was a well-known fact going around in some of the African-American communities that if Thad Cochran won the race, he'd be hard to beat, almost impossible. But if Chris McDaniels run the race, then in November, they could more likely get Travis Childers, the Democrat, elected as the United States Senator from Mississippi. Now, that thinking is like, I believe it's like having a stick of political dynamite with a short fuse. Because I don't think anybody in this national environment is going to, we're not going to see Mississippi elect a Democrat senator in November. So that fuse may go up and blow up on the African-Americans who wanted to vote for Chris McDaniel so they could have the less strong candidate to try to beat in November. Because I don't think the majority of the African-Americans in Mississippi want Chris McDaniel as their next U.S. senator. I hope they do, and that's why they went and voted for him. But more than likely, they voted for him to help try to get him on the ticket to beat in November. So a lot of things going on in Mississippi politics, more than meets the eye. But this week, we'll know who our next the Republican nominee will be, and hopefully the Republicans get behind them, because Mississippi cannot afford to go to the Democratic column. It will probably put a monkey wrench in the Republicans' ability to take over the Senate if Mississippi cannot keep their seat Republican. So very important to go vote if you live in Mississippi. Next week, I'll be out, but we'll do a show on emails, so I won't be able to give you an update on the Mississippi Senate race. You'll know then, but a couple weeks down the road, we'll talk a little bit more about politics in the Republican primaries and what's going on. But next week, we'll be dealing with emails and the IRS. Lois Lerner, how in the world did the emails disappear in a computer crash and our government can't bring it up? Well, we're going to talk about that next week. Don't miss next week's show. Talk to you then.
Thanks for joining us today. And remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.